Have your Bible, turn with me to the first chapter of the book of James, James chapter 1. Last Sunday evening, we heard two messages concerning the Word of the Lord and our need to diligently study and to be in the Word of God, and I was grateful for those messages. And following that, I issued a challenge to the church, and I know that there are some that are unable to be with us on Sunday evening, so I will reiterate that here. The challenge that I issued was that over the course of the 31 days, beginning last Monday and ending on February 28th, that we would all go through the book of Proverbs. There are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, so that's one chapter a day. They average 30 or so verses, which means that it takes about 3 minutes of your day to be in the book of Proverbs. Now, if I'm being honest, I have at various times for the last 5 years of preaching here at Faith tried to encourage us to be in the Word, and when I issued that challenge, I expected to be underwhelmed by the number of people who desire to do it. I have been made to be a liar to myself within that because I have been overwhelmed by the amount of people that have determined within themselves to study and to stay the course and moving through with the book of Proverbs. And I am very grateful for that. And the reason why is that what the Word of God gives us to teach and to direct us far exceeds just wisdom. Now, the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. It is authored by the wise man Solomon, the most wise man that Scripture teaches us outside of Christ has ever existed. And it is full of wisdom and practical teaching for us. But when we identify the Word of God as being that which we have trusted in Christ Jesus, we see the magnitude is not that we would learn after the Word of God like we would study some textbook in school, but instead that it becomes implanted in our hearts. James talks about that here. It was in the, I'm not going to read that verse, but in fact, just in the verse prior to where we'll start reading here in a minute, in verse 22, he speaks about the Word of God being engrafted or implanted in our hearts. If you have been saved by God's grace and you are not constantly giving yourself over to the Word of God, you are falling short of what it is that Christ has done in saving you. He has saved you unto Himself that you might give yourself over to Him. And we see that Jesus Christ is the Word. The Word was made flesh in Jesus. So you cannot say and tell me that you are a lover of Christ, that you are a Christian, and not consistently and constantly be applying yourself to the Word. Those two things just won't stand in alignment. That they can't do it. They're at ends and odds with each other. If you love the Lord, then you love His Word. If you love the Lord and hate His Word, I stand to tell you, you do not love the Lord like you think you do. Now, I recognize that it is a difficult book to study. I understand that. I'm kind of glad that it is. Listen, the Bible's not a magazine. It's not the USA Today, it's not People Magazine or Us Weekly or whatever else you see in the grocery store checkout line. It's not Sports Illustrated, it's not Hunger Games, it's not Twilight or any of these other books that you would read. This is the inspired Word of Almighty God. It is not something that you should expect to pick up and be able to read it like you would read a menu at a restaurant. This is the Word of God that He has given us to instruct us. And when we approach it with the help of God and a longing after it, He begins to open up and reveal to us His Word and His teaching. And it takes on a magnitude far above just reading after some story. And to the point that it becomes the very life that we follow after. And that's incredible to me. The book of James has been dubbed the Proverbs of the New Testament. Does anybody know who James was, the author of this? He's the half-brother of Jesus. When you read these words, you are reading what it is that Jesus has told us. Hey, Logan, I want you to stay with me, man, all right? So he tells us what it is that Jesus, his brother, is speaking to us here. He's the one that tells us and instructs us. And what he is doing is he's giving us this perspective as Jesus' brother.
This was a man who grew up with Jesus. He saw him from a lad. He grew up in the same home, was raised as the same Jewish tradition as Jesus was. He almost offers a commentary on the gospel, if you would. And as he does that, he's very simple and pragmatic in his approach. This is just a carpenter's son trying to tell us what it is to serve the Lord, who's his brother. Keep that in mind when you look at the book of James. And there's two practical applications that he tells us that I want us to look to. And the first here is in verses 23 through 25 of James chapter 1. It says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." A little while later, in the fourth chapter of this same book of James, he says this in verse 17. He says, "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is a sin." As I was thinking about our moving through the book of Proverbs and studying in the book of Proverbs alongside you this week, and was thinking about these simple truths of Scripture, I was inspired by what it is to follow after the Lord and how He has given us these directions and these instructions that we might follow after in our service to Him. This week I had a number of things going on, and preaching funerals in Kentucky and here for my grandfather and meeting with different people for different reasons. And as I went through each of those and was exposed to different cultures and different lifestyles, a lot of times I felt like a duck out of water. In fact, I told a friend of mine following my grandfather's funeral, my life is made up with God's people. That's who makes up my life. And when I'm around people that aren't God's people, I get uncomfortable. Those were people that were here Thursday night for my family, but they weren't God's people. They weren't my family in Christ. They were my family in blood, but not the blood of Jesus. You are who it is that when I'm around you, I have the same sense and desires that the Lord has given to each of us to follow Him. So when I get around these different cultures, I almost don't know how to act or how to behave. And I was thinking about that and trying to reconcile in my mind how it is that we pursue after the Lord in truth. And all of a sudden, what God started to show and to illustrate was what He has desired for His children is not that there would be some grand mystery that we would have to solve to be able to follow Him. But instead, He has given us His simple truths. I think that's why the book of Proverbs is such a wonderful study. Because it's just simple truth after simple truth after simple truth after simple truth. And here James does the same thing. He tells us to not just be a hearer of the word, but a doer. And he challenges us when he says that. He says, "For if you are only a hearer and not a doer, you are lying to yourself." Now I want you to understand what he means when he says that. If God is who He says He is, which is a holy God, the creator of the universe, the most sovereign, supreme God, then what it is that He is telling us in His Word, we should listen to. If what He is telling us would be those things that are good, which He tells us in other scriptures that it is for our good, that it is for our benefit, that it is that we might find joy, that it is that we might find peace, then we can logically decide within ourselves that we should listen. And if we be who we say we are as God's people, that we are Christians who desire to follow after Christ, who desire to pursue after truth, who desire the Word, and if God be the one who has written it, then if we are hearers, then it follows that we should be doers. And if you are only a hearer, you are lying to yourself. Because you're saying, "I believe that God is who He says He is, and I believe that I'm to follow Him, but I hear it and don't do it." You're lying to yourself. Any man who is only a hearer of God's word and not a doer is deceiving himself. I want that to take root today in your heart. Not because it's some great thing that I'm telling you, but because God's who said it.
God has taught us to not merely be those people that would receive a word, but instead those that would make a response to it. When I am in a service, my prayer, when I'm hearing the word preached, is God would not just give me ears that I might hear and be listening and be entertained for a little while and go home with some thoughts in my mind that I forget by tomorrow. But instead, that His Word, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, would be directed to my heart, that it might result in a change in my life, that I might live more closely in following the Lord. Isn't that the very thing that happened when you first became convicted of your sins? That a preacher was preaching, or there was something that was said and that was done, and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, those words were directed to your heart, and your heart was changed. And what changed in you was that you went from not being aware of your great need to be saved to all of a sudden being aware of the separation that you have from God in His holiness and in your sin. And all at once, what it was that you had heard made a change that you had to respond to be saved. That is the same message that is repeated over and over and over in the life of a believer. Continuously, the Word of God being directed by the Holy Spirit to our hearts that we might follow Him and follow Him more closely. That's the nature of hearing the Word and doing it. We see that James goes on and continues to explain this. And he says that if somebody hears it, it's kind of like somebody that looks in a mirror. Now if I look in a mirror and I very quickly go my way and I walk outside or I kneel down and pray and my hair gets all messed up like it so often does, and I forget what I look like, right? All of a sudden my mind's been changed, my reflection's been changed, but I've forgotten what it was that I first saw. That's someone who hears and doesn't do. Somebody, yeah, I see what you're saying, Brother Derek. I see what you're saying, preacher. But I'm going to go ahead and depart from here and not do anything about it. Has anybody ever looked in a mirror? No, I don't mean to be grotesque here. I'm going to gross my mom out. I'll say it this way. Ever had a bat in the cave? You know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever not done anything about it? I'm just going to leave that there that everybody sees it. No! You want to do something about it. If you were to walk away and say, oh, I'm going to forget what I look like in a minute anyway, then there's no reason that you'd have any concern. But instead, you look and you see and you do something about it because you desire that there be a cleanliness with which you would approach life. So it is as we look into the law of God. So it is as we look into the oracles that God has given us in His Word. So it is as we look into His truths, we dive into His teachings and the illustrations that He has given to us in Christ Jesus. He shows us how it is that we have been born again, how it is that we have been bought, how it is that we have been redeemed, what it is that Christ has done in giving us a new heart, what it is that He has done in bringing us unto Himself that we might walk and live in His holiness. And we see that, and we see it against ourselves, and it causes us to change. Listen, I might be old-fashioned, but I believe that a Sunday morning sermon can turn life around. Don't you? All of a sudden you say, God has awoken in my heart this great need that I have. And I've heard this teaching all of my life, but the Spirit has accompanied it, and it's now got into my heart, and it's become implanted there, and it's welled up within me, that it becomes expressed even in my life. There's a proverb that teaches us that all of the issues of life come forth from the heart. So when we see that the Word of God is to be implanted in our heart, that will be the effect in everything that we do. Isn't that wonderful? I thank God for that. Brother Jeff made a point in Sunday school that I want to echo here. The point that he made is that our churches so often, our lives so often, our families so often are weak because our weakness is in the Word. Our weakness in study, our weakness in applying ourselves to God's Word in study and in prayer, our weakness in following after what thus saith the Lord and not approaching it as God would desire for us to do and giving our lives to the Word, that is expressed in the weakness that we have spiritually, even amongst ourselves this morning. Our great need today is the power of God. And that power of God is revealed to us in His holy word. And in fact, did you know, I probably mentioned this before, did you know that the word dynamite that we have today has its roots in a word in Scripture for power that is in the Greek dunamis? That's where we get our word for dynamite. The power of God is found in His word. And if we would have that implanted in our lives, I assure you that there you would find a power in those things that you would be doing. Because behold, listen to verse 25. He said, "But whosoever looketh into the perfect law, the law of liberty, the teachings of Christ, and continueth in those things, not being one who hears and forgets, but being a doer who acts, this man shall be blessed in what he does." Did you hear that? If a man would not be one who hears and forgets, but one who does and acts, behold, this man, this woman, this child will be blessed in what it is that he does. Young people, you're going to be making a decision before long about what you're going to do after school. After you get out of high school, are you going to go to college? Are you going to go to some vocational school? Are you going to just go ahead and start working? Or what is it that you are going to do? And I want you to know that I support you with whatever it is that God desires for you to do. But I want you to know that I believe what He desires for you to do can be found in this Word. That you can study this and He can show you and bring to your heart those things that He has purposed for you and those things that He desires for you. I'll tell you this, He desires that wherever it is that life takes you after you graduate high school, that you be close to a sound church. That you be close to brothers and sisters who can support you in Christ. That it wouldn't be that your life's goal becomes only about how much money you can make, but instead how much you can be like Jesus. For these are things that are taught and instructed in His Word. And when we apply ourselves to these simple truths of Christ, we find that we become blessed in our deeds. But James would go on later, and he tells us that for those that know to do good and do it not, to him it is a sin. You see, there are things that Scripture tells us that we are to do. There are things that Scripture tells us that we are not to do. When you do the things that God has commanded not to do, those are sins that you are committing. Sins of commission, if you will. When it is that God has told you something to do and you don't do it, those are sins that you are, or things that you are omitting that are sinful. Those are sins of omission. There are two types of sins. Sins that you do and sins that you don't do. Those things that you don't do in following after the Lord, omitting them from your life. Sins of commission and sins of omission. And the Word of God is what reveals those to us. You want to know how impactful this is? Abraham was given the law, Moses was given the law, but we find that even Abraham had the law in his heart. Now you say, Derek, how can that be? How is it that God would call Moses up into a mountain, and there amongst this pillar of cloud would hand down these laws unto Moses, writing themselves with his own hand in tablets of stone? How is it that Abraham had those same laws in his heart? We find the revelation of what it is that we are to do is instilled in our conscience by the Holy Word of God and by His Spirit directing us. We find that when it was that the first murder was found in Cain and Abel, that behold, that murder broke God's law the same as it did after the Ten Commandments were written. Why is that? For what God has done in making man is made him in His own image. You see that? He has made us in the express purpose of Himself, so that behold, we have this in our spirit that would reveal to us who God is. And I want you to know today that as much as you can try to block out what it is that I would say, as much as it is that you can try to block out what the Spirit is speaking to your heart, even this hour, behold, God will not be mocked. He is a true God and He is a living God. And what He has revealed to man in His own image is sufficient to express your need for Him in your own being. You hear what I said there? God has provided every opportunity for the whole world that they would know of their need to be saved. I believe that, don't you? So you can do what you want, try to block it out, and ignore these simple truths. But I stand to reason today that God has made Himself available to all, that they can come unto Him to be saved. And if He has made Himself available to all, then all have the same need and all have the same ability to be awoken and to be aware and to realize that need by the Holy Spirit's conviction in their heart. My friend today, if you're going to be saved, if you're going to come to find the Lord, that He would save you, that He would redeem you, I want you to know that you're going to have to be convicted of your sins. You're going to have a convincing that the Holy Spirit wells up in you and makes you aware and accountable over those things that you have done that stand against God's holiness. That God would show you in your brokenness of your need to be healed. That God would show you in your being crushed by the weightiness of sin of your need to be redeemed. Listen. You're not going to come unto the Lord God, the Holy God, Jehovah God, the One who has spoke all things into existence as if it is that you are boarding an airplane. You're not going to come unto a Holy God as it would be that you are giving a ticket to get into some sporting event or to get into some dance or to do something. Instead, if you are going to come unto a Holy God, you will come unto a Holy God only through Christ Jesus. By faith alone, in Christ alone, by the grace that God so lovingly bestows upon us. My dear friend, if you're going to be saved, you'll be saved by the blood. Through Christ alone. These are simple truths. These are simple truths. Now, listen. Getting saved is the most difficult thing in the world you'll ever do. You know why? Because there's nothing that you can do to save yourself aside from trusting in Christ alone that He will save you. But I want you to know that the simple reality and truth of your need to be saved is simple indeed. It is not meant to be so difficult that only wise scholars in some seminary can come to understand it. In fact, it is so simple that it is best understood by a child. That's why He said, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before there is that an evil day comes and pulls you away from awareness of your need to be saved." Children, I want you to listen to me. Be saved. Be saved while you can. Be saved while He is near and calling unto you. Parents, bring your children to church. Raise them up in the nurture and admonition that they might see of their great need to be redeemed while they're young. Don't put it off that they might go and sow some wild oats and come back at some time more appropriate for them. They need to be saved quickly. And even now, behold, before the time that Jesus has given us to be saved is now, today, this opportunity. Don't put it off. If thou would be saved now. Be saved today. I was reading last week after C.H. Spurgeon. And C.H. Spurgeon would seldom give altar calls. And the reason why is he would say this. He'd say, "My dear friend, if God has convicted your heart, be saved now in your seat. Don't move an inch. Bow and pour out your heart unto God that He might redeem you." And I would give you the same instruction. If even this very moment God is convicting your heart, don't wait another second. Don't wait one moment. Bow and cry out to God that He will save you. And He will save you, and He will save you quickly if you would trust only in Him. Only in Him. Church, do you believe that? Because I've got a lot of empty stares back at me. Listen, this should be engrafted on our hearts as God's people, that those that are lost need to be saved. And they need to be saved very quickly. That should be in there deep. My little girl turns 5 this week. Every day, it makes a new fear in my heart of her need to be saved. And why I fear that is she's not going to be saved because her dad's a preacher, or because her grandpa's a preacher, or because her great-grandpa was a preacher. She will only be saved by Christ.
And there is nothing that I can do aside from pointing her to Him, giving her an environment that is filled with the Spirit, bringing her to a place where God's people can direct her. So church, it is our need, and we have a responsibility that we would be about what it is that we would point others unto the Lord to be saved. Not so busy and entangled with the affairs of life that we miss the opportunity, but instead so focused and so determined on the things of the Lord that behold, anybody who comes underneath our influence knows of their need to be redeemed. Are you about that, church? Listen, if you're not, I want you to know I'm not mad at you. But I plead with you to search out the Lord that He might well up in you this great desire and need that you have. And you might say, well, preacher, you're being selfish because it is that your daughter's going to stand in need of being saved. And maybe I am. But I want you to know this hour, I am as concerned about Logan, I am concerned about Drew, as I am concerned about anybody. Because if there is one that is lost and finds himself in the devil's hell, it is something that stands against the holiness of God. For He has not created hell as a place of judgment for people as much as He has that it is a place of judgment for the devil and his angels. He wants instead to redeem your soul. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Have we stopped believing that? I pray that we haven't. There is a great need this morning for you to be saved. For you. I'm talking to you today. It's just me and you. Ignore everybody else. It's just me and you. If you're here today and you are lost and you are separated from God, you are in the most perilous of conditions. There is danger all over you. For I want you to know this very moment, all that is preventing Christ from coming back even this hour is the long-suffering of God. And at once that long-suffering is going to end and the opportunity of grace is going to be no more. And the Scriptures teach us that, behold, there would be those crying out that the mountains and the rocks would fall upon them to cover themselves and to hide their shame from the righteousness of God, who is the only right and just and faithful judge. Listen, my friend, you need to be saved. And you need to be saved quickly. I had a whole list of simple truths I wanted to go through. The Lord's taking my heart a different way, and that's okay. Brother Brett, get us a song of invitation. I want to provide you this opportunity. If God is dealing with you, cry out unto Him and be saved. If there is conviction upon your heart that is awakening you in that sickening feeling of sin, cry out unto the Lord, for He alone can redeem you. If it is a separation as upon you and you know that there is no peace in your life, cry out unto the Lord that He would bring you peace. Church, listen to the Lord. Follow after Him. Don't be sleeping. Don't be distracting others. Instead, serve the Lord. Give over to Him today that the Spirit of God might direct this place and direct our hearts, that we can exalt the name of Jesus and that lost souls can trust in Him and be saved.